Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are the Architects of Entropy, and this is a special episode. We will be doing some architecture. We are finally branching out from our original setting for the first arc of the series in the city of Malshar, and we'll be moving on to some other spots in the world of Iamora. This being said, there are a couple of places that we indicated we wanted to see at some point in this campaign, so we're going to flesh those areas out. When we originally created this world, there's a whole bunch of places on our map that have different races and different things going on. Mostly there were spots where specific peoples settled and had their own parts and history. Some of them interacted with other things. Some of them kind of stayed self-contained, so we might not know a lot about them. And these particular ones we're exploring right now are places that we really didn't, you know, we don't know a lot about. They haven't really rubbed against other things in history as much as like the Isog or the dwarves, as far as, you know, getting in giant wars and stuff like that. So we are going to start with an area in the northwest of our map called Wenya's Hollow. And this area was created by MJ. It is a silver birch forest that was formed way, you know, hundreds of years ago. And in our history, in the year 140 is when the inhabitants appear and the place becomes what it is. So MJ, if you could tell us a little bit about Wenya's Hollow, and we'll go from there.
Sure. Well, as stated, on the outside, it looks like a regular silver birch forest, but this place is primarily, it's magical, it's mystical, and it's an old, old magic that probably no one really knows where it comes from. Maybe it came from the earth. It's a, you know, it's a very mystical place. So people who are non-magical or resistant to magic have problems here. Struggle. If somebody who, you know, doesn't necessarily, you know, cater to magic or believe in magic or trust magic, the place senses that in them and messes with their mind. So non-magical beings don't last very long. They'll leave or maybe disappear. So I don't think there's a lot of those kind of beings that are existing in this hollow. So that the beings that are living here, like the sprites and the pixies, are beings that can interact with that magic and have a sense of how to get around, you know, maybe when the forest plays tricks on them. And I think this forest does play a lot of tricks. I think it's ever changing. It's ever evolving. You'll go into one section and, you know, maybe take a rest or build a fire or whatever. And then the next thing you know, when you look up, it's different. The landscape is so very easy to get lost here. And that's another thing. I think that's difficult for travelers. So I think it's a pretty, it's a place that's pretty ambiguous to a lot of people. People are scared of it. Maybe some people are excited to explore it more because of the fact that it's so mysterious. It's a very mysterious
place. Okay, cool. That being said, given that you are the chief architect of this area, mm-hmm. What are some rules as far as world building? What are things that you would expect to see, and what are some things that you would that would not be here or happen here?
I don't think there's a lot of true evil here, even though there's a mischievousness about it. I think it still comes from a good-natured sort of place. I don't think the forest or the creatures in the forest, there's not a lot of murder, there's not a lot of that kind of thing. But there is certainly a sense of mischief. So I guess that's probably the biggest thing that I have, is that there's not like true evilness about it or true evil creatures that would reside.
Okay. And I just realized that I left something out of the beginning. So I will acknowledge this now. And we have with us today, we have Rick and MJ and Scott, who is joining the campaign after the Malshar arc officially. Kevin, due to scheduling conflicts, could not be here for this, but I thought it would be a good thing to get Scott invested more as an architect of stuff, you know, start having some input on the world itself. So thank you for joining us today, Scott.
And, thanks. I don't know if I'm going to be any help because MJ said no evil here. So I don't know. I don't know that I can be of any assistance, but I'll try.
Yeah, great, well, you know. evil is one of those things that is sometimes a matter of perspective. So what I want to do then to begin this is, first of all, I am going to share a whiteboard with you guys, and I hope this doesn't cause further issues. But okay, so you should be seeing this this white space now, and we should all be able to monkey with it. So what I'm going to do is start by just drawing the basic outline of the place, just kind of based on, and it's, you know, this is very, very, very loose kind of. It's the way it wound up kind of shaping on our map originally was kind of almost like a, I don't want to say like a skull shape, but it does, like, you know, it does widen out at the top and kind of narrow at the bottom just based on geography. So the shape you're looking at is vaguely that shape. And it is three of, like, our hex squares on our original map were a day's travel. So it's like 3 days travel across and like four from the top and bottom, with it narrowing a little towards the south. And the only geographical feature that we know about other than silver birch trees everywhere is a cave that's somewhere in the middle. I'll draw the little cave here that connects it to the network of underground tunnels in this area, created, as far as we know, by the drow. So there is a tunnel that goes into basically the heart of this. So that is the only other geographical figure we know of. So what I want to do is just go around. We're going to go round robin a few times, starting with MJ, and we're going to add some concrete geographical things to this. And obviously, is that safe to say that there are things that are, like, I'll ask you, MJ, does the geography of this place physically change, or do people kind of bounce around within it?
That's a good question. I think it actually physically changes.
Okay, so that might, so that makes this part of the world creation a little tricky, but not impossible. So in other words, we don't necessarily even really need to necessarily look at this map. Are there things? Well, let me ask you this. Are there things in this map that are fairly static that would be?
I think there are probably areas that might be like landmarks.
Okay. Because if you really want to make this truly that kind of thing, then honestly, we don't even really need the map.
Right.
Per se. We can just say, you know, there are, you know, there's, okay, let's, how about this? Why don't we say this? I'm so glad we started with this, because this is the weirdest thing ever, which is great, because this kind of gives us, well, let me throw it out to everybody else. What do you guys think? How do you think we should, strange, ever-changing zone of weird?
I think the map might not be a bad idea, just to give us an idea of a visual representation of things that we've put on there. Like if we put a river or a stream or things like that, and we just know that that's not necessarily where it is. Like you can't use it to navigate, but it would provide us a thing, but it might be easier just to create a list. It's kind of up to you, Pat. I assume you're writing all this stuff down, so that's really what makes it more of a pain for you or easier for you.
Yeah. But, it's not hard for me to do it that way. I'm a more of a visual person.
My suggestion would be to skip the map, because I can barely understand you, Pat, with the whiteboard up.
Okay.
And we just set up landscape scenes. That would be my suggestion.
Okay. So in that case, let me nix the whiteboard, Rick. And I thought it might. So that is fine. So let's do a list of things that exist in this world. All right. So I'm going to start with MJ. And we're going to go around and we're going to create some geographical elements that are found within this mystical forest. All right. Here we go. MJ, we're going to start with you.
There are hot springs.
Okay. What can you tell us about these?
They have healing qualities about them. It's probably a fairly small area. And it's definitely not that, I mean, everything is hidden here, but it's certainly in more of a hidden place, maybe in lower down with that's surrounded by a lot of plant life. So it's hard to find.
Even so would you say this is a rarer thing to run into?
I would say so, yeah.
All right. So I think that might be a good way to, another good way to define things is just how often someone might run into them in there.
Gotcha.
So I'd say it's a rare, and that being things being rare would seem more hidden. At least that's a good shorthand for me on my end.
Great.
Alrighty. So let's go to Rick.
There's a series of ponds, small ponds that migrate across the place. You never know where you might encounter them. And they're fairly common, but it's the same pond.
Okay. So they're like, more like landmarks for you to determine that you are true.
Yeah.
Three distinct ponds. Do they have any other like otherworldly qualities other than the fact then that these are like landmarks to determine the
they're filled with birds, very colorful, all sorts of birds.
Birds in the pond or flying around the pond? Because this place is really
flying around in the area. In the area.
Okay.
They seem to be mischievous, much like the sprites in the pixies, in that like they'll dive bomb people sometimes. Again, not intending to harm. They might fly over and poo on whatever you got. Just general pains in the butt birds.
Okay. good. All right, Scott.
All right, well, I had one, but we went with pain in the butt birds, so I'm going to change. All right, somewhere, and it's probably changes, but the crows that are part of the birds that hang around here, and they're very smart, so they steal things from people, and they like shiny things and interesting things, and they collect all these things in this one very large tree somewhere in the forest. And so somewhere in the forest, there's this tree that has all the things that the crows have stolen from people over the years. And then perhaps they dole these things out to friendly people who live in the forest who have made friends with the crows. But for the most part, there's a big stash somewhere of everything the crows have taken.
Okay.
And I assume it's a big old tree. And I'm already way off because I have no idea if the crows live in silver birch forests. They probably don't. But, hey, what do we... It's a weird magical world.
It doesn't matter. Crows live wherever crows are.
So any of you biologists out there giving me guff, I don't want to hear it. It's a magical world.
It's a magical world. The tree, their tree, is that is that a thing that you would likely not find on your own? Or is that a thing you might stumble into?
I would think that because of the weird magic around it, the people who are supposed to find the tree, whether that is for good or for ill, but the people who are supposed to, I feel like the forest puts the person who's supposed to find the tree there, but this forest doesn't really make a judgment about, whether it's a good idea that this person finds the forest. They just do what seems like the strands of fate suggest should happen.
All right, so it comes to me, and I would like to add something that is, I would like to, so I'm going to add when you're listening to everybody else and everything, is your brain stops thinking of things. So what I'm going to do is I am going to add how about a swamp that comes out of nowhere that will trap those with ill intent and scare the liver out of them. So when truly bad people come here with ill intent, they will likely get trapped in this terrifying swamp that appears out of nowhere. It has big, scary dead trees and growling things that you never really see. Glowing eyes in the woods, things chase you, but you never really see them, but you know they're chasing you. The only thing you can do is if you are truly frightened and want to leave, it will let you leave. But if you are very willful and want to stay, it will take something from something important. I'd be like, okay, if you're a bad person, but you want to stay here, you're going to basically have to make a choice that, you know, you're going to give up something. It could be, it could even be the memory of why you came here in the first place, you know, or, you know, whatever, you know, if you had something that, you know, was going to defend you from hazards, it takes it away from you, or takes all your money. If you are a greedy person, and be like, okay, you can stay, but you're going to lose something incredibly important to stay here. You know, that's what it does. Is that kind of fit? It's not an evil thing, but it is a scary protection. And yeah, it makes, it offers a devil's bargain in Forged in the Dark terms. Mm-hmm. Is that, you think that works, MJ?
Yeah, totally.
That's how bad things can be there, but they're kind of been defanged by some kind of choice they had.
Right. And hopefully that will, you know, that devil's bargain will change the person. I think that would be like the goal of the forest.
Or yeah, something. I think so. I think there'd be like, you're gonna have to, it's like, there's, it's going to take away a reason for a bad person to generally stay here and be bad.
Right.
But if they really want to, they really, you know, they're, you know, they're it's going to make them not all that dangerous to other people in some way or another. It just make them really, it just make it really sad.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you know what? And I probably should have, mentioned this when we started, but this is the first one you're doing, so I'm going to make a lot of mistakes. What or who is Wenya?
That's a good question. I think Wenya is some kind of nature spirit that resides in the trees, or resides in a particular tree. I think there are nature spirits here, and a lot of them reside in the trees.
Yeah, when you originally created this, I have here the inhabitants here worship tree gods called Wenya, which is spelled U-A-I-N-E. I'm sure with some kind of accent that I couldn't put here. And yeah. Pronounce Wenya.
Wenya, yep.
Yeah, so they are, okay, so they are niche. Yep, that's that jives with what I have. I just wanted to share that here with the people. Okay, so we're gonna go back around, add a few more elements until people run out of ideas. So MJ.
I think there are a good number of patches, so they're probably pretty easy to find. Patches of edible berries and flowers and shrubs and mushrooms, but some of them will have effects that are drug-like. So, you know, maybe hallucinations, or maybe you'll be really giddy or happy for a while. Maybe you'll be really depressed. Maybe you'll fall asleep. So I think it depends on not only on the type of plant or fungus, but also maybe your mood when you go into it.
Okay. Is this, are these things that someone with sufficient knowledge of, you know, like flora, might be able to suss out?
I think so.
Okay. So they are detectable.
I think they're detectable, yeah.
Not natural.
Right. But even if the person detects it and has a negative attitude going into it,
right,
you know, the effects might not be what they think it's been.
Okay. Rick.
Hmm. Okay. There's a stream that goes through the length of the place, north to south, that goes above ground and below ground, seemingly at random. That's really just about it. I mean, it's another fairly common thing you'd run across. But you know, it geographically, it doesn't necessarily follow the laws of your typical geography when it goes above or below ground.
Okay, so it runs, you know, to the vision of who's seeing it, it runs from north to south, but that's north to south by your perception, not necessarily by where it actually.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you can it's like, okay, well, by my estimation, we should be at the bottom of this place, and we come out and we're in the west. You know, just like, well, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. All right. I'll say north to south, perceived north to south.
Yep.
Yeah. Is this normal water?
The water itself is probably normal. There are probably selkies, nymphs, other kinds of water spirits that inhabit it, playing tricks on, you know, travelers, and possibly taking care of those that are in need.
All right. Okay. Scott.
All right. Never go here. That's what I've got so far. Never go to this place. All right.
Razor won't like this place.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, it's totally going to be worth it. Let's get Razor here. let's see. Since we have a stream, I think we will do a waterfall because every enchanted wood needs a waterfall.
Okay.
And I think it is probably, this is a very mystical place. So like if the water is normal in the stream normally, if you catch it from the waterfall, it has some kind of magical property. And I would assume that this would be like a very special place for the people who inhabit the forest. Like this is a place that you can't get to if you have any sort of ill intent for the inhabitants or the forest itself. Like this is kind of like, okay, this is the heart of the forest. You're not allowed to come to the little glade with the waterfall and do stuff, but it's a very important place for the local. No tourists though.
Okay. And is there anything as far as magical nature that is quantifiable here? Or is this any number of things could...
I'm kind of leaning on, rather than turn it into Galadriel's pool, let's make it like this, the water is a component for whatever other magic or ritual would be created. Like anything that the people need to create that the forest does not, that they would use the water as a way to tie their magic to the land that they inhabit.
Cool. All right.
And it probably does terrible stuff to you if you drink it and you're not like, okay, you're not supposed to, you know, but you know, just, I mean, I'm sorry, not terrible stuff, mischievous stuff. Like you forget who you are. Yeah, I don't know. Something bad.
Okay. So, So I am going to say, that,
whoops. Do we have
some kind of
extra sound coming up?
Yeah.
Is somebody
I'm somewhere
playing something or?
I was looking up pronunciations. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, okay. Alrighty. Okay, cool. Alrighty.
That's hey, we're not crazy.
I
that's good.
I was muted. Yeah. Oh man.
I shouldn't have drank that water.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah. It shows that you're muted. I don't know why.
Oh, so weird.
That is weird.
Mine is not showing that MJ's muted, but
Okay.
Obviously not
very,
right now.
Very strange. But, I don't know. Whatever. It's fine. As long as it's, it was kind of creepy and evocative when I heard it.
I just want to make sure I'm pronouncing things correctly.
No, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. Okay.
I want to change mine. The water makes you hear voices. Let's do it. Come on.
Yeah.
You may hear voices. okay. So there are trees. Trees here can offer wisdom at a price. I'm going to say that given that this is the Wenyar are tree, you know, spirits, I think that trees here might be able to help you in some way, but they're going to need something. It might be something truly, truly random, or it might be something that seems random and will make sense later on. But they, you know, they are ultimate judges of character and will kind of, and more often than not, they will tell you something that you should already know and, you know, might be riddly or confusing. You know, they're not going to ask you to do something horrible, but they might ask you to do something strange or maybe a little upsetting in the time. And that can happen pretty much anywhere, but it's kind of at, you know, it's kind of, you know, those who know they can talk to the trees, and people who don't, the trees will talk to them if they feel like it. Okay, so that's another round of things, and we can add things later on too if we decide to. But MJ, is there anything? Do we feel pretty good about what we have? Do we want to add some more things?
Never, I'm up for whatever.
I'm pretty good with what we have. I think we should start. In my opinion, I'd start adding NPCs or factions or that kind of.
Yeah, and that might inform like, oh, we have this faction, they need a place, so they have this birch wood meeting house or whatever. And I think that makes sense. I mean, I think we've got a general idea. The only thing that I didn't say that I had kind of was like, which we all kind of skirted around, was like, you know, it's a birch forest. It's this primarily made out of this one tree. The silver birch. So I feel like it's very disconcerting to walk through, right? Because it looks
the same everywhere, and you walk and you walk and walk. Is this even a path? And then you see some ponds and you're screwed. but I kind of get this idea that at least at the very edges, it's very uniform. You know, you're up in a birch forest and it's just the same tree after the same tree. Somebody copy pasted it in Photoshop and you're like, okay, I guess. And your woodcraft is not helping you anymore, because it's like, well, yeah, it's all the same. We just keep walking this way, I guess. So,
and I like to throw something out in that idea is like, it almost appears, and you can decide whether this is just legend or not, but all the tree roots connect to each other. Mm. Almost like it can see what goes, like it's one tree and it can see whatever goes on everywhere.
And it communicates.
Yeah. Like a hive tree mind. I don't know. It appears that way, whether that's true or not.
That could be the other theory, right? The Wenya is a collective of tree spirits. That is the sum is greater than the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. I know how words work, but yeah. And so like that would feed into that, and that may or may not be true, but that could be the operating theory for those people in this world that need to come up with theories for them.
So is it safe to say, MJ, that the beings here are generally fae?
Yes, I would say most likely. Yeah.
Okay.
Or touched by fae or something like that.
Yeah, and you know, when we say fae, obviously there is, you know, believed to be this, you know, realm of the fae, but it, like anything else, that's how people define stuff. And I don't like to put, you know, real like super distinct rules on the fae wild, whatever you want to call it. Because in terms of, you know, role-playing games, you know, or legends, everybody knows, a lot of people know what stuff is based on, oh, these are fae, but given that the fae is supposed to be, you know, somewhat mysterious and unknowable, it doesn't really have to follow any kind of, but we as humans like to slap rules on things. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're, you know, that they're all pally with any other fae beings in the world, like the Isog or the Progenitor or anything else. So it's its own thing. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And this place is more of a realm of just a place of, you know, that evil is not permitted to reside.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. So let's start with the beings that we know about.
Okay.
That are here. So when you created this, you created pixies called the Sciolach, which is spelled S-I-O-L-A-C-H, and sprites called the Shichi, which is pronounced which is spelled S-I-T-H-I-C-H-E, which I believe is kind of a Gaelic.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, pronunciation, which is why it makes no sense.
Yes,
to us English speakers. So tell us about, what can you tell us a little bit more about those?
Hopefully I will remember this correctly. So one of them, I believe it's the pixies, are the ones who are a bit more shy and are a little more hesitant to sort of come out and interact. And the Shichi are the ones that are a little more gregarious and will really interact, and they're a little bit more mischievous. They like to have fun. They like to play pranks. So you'll see that they're more prevalent, certainly, or at least visually more prevalent. And I think, I mean, in my mind, they appear genderless. They're small. I think the Sciolach are, the colors are maybe a little more pastel-y, and the Shichi tend to be a little more vibrant, to have more color. They're just a little bit more visually noticeable. They're a little more flamboyant.
Do they all have wings, or?
They all have wings.
Do they follow do they follow more or less the standard visual concept of sprites?
I would say that they have some form of wings, whether it's the pixie wings, or maybe some of them have like more like bat wings. Some of them have clothing that look like the clothing is the wings, but maybe it's part of their bodies. Who knows? I think there are different types of kinds of wings.
And just out of curiosity, do those, when they have different wings, like do all of the bat wings like, are they part of a similar clan type thing? Or is they just, no, that's just random wings. You know, it's this chaotic place where, you know, anybody can have any kind of wings and it doesn't mean anything.
Anybody can have anything.
Yeah. All right.
I think there are groups that stick together, particularly with the Shealock, because they're shyer. So they tend to have, I don't know if you want to call it clans or groups or whatever, sect. Maybe I'll think of a word of the right.
We're just going to put tribes.
Tribes, sure. And the Shichi are more apt to sort of travel around and go to different groups and not really have that.
More homogenous, like they just are like, no, that's not the word I'm looking for. The more individual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they intermingle more, so you'll find.
Social.
Yeah, more social. Yeah.
So it's another thing about you know, especially like the kind of D&D definition of pixies and versus sprites, is that sprites, pixies are generally perceived as being kind of lighter, and sprites can be a little bit more rough as far as, you know, the wisdom of the forest versus the, you know, defenders of the forest. Is there those distinctions kind of like that between them, or is it any one of them could have those? You know, what, I guess, other than kind of attitude in general, general how you perceive them and how they interact, what else is different?
Well, the coloring is different.
The color.
The Shichi probably have, they're probably a little more like squat, I guess, a little smaller body, but maybe a little thicker. And the Shealock are probably more lithe, longer. They have longer limbs, even though they're all pretty small beings. But
and I just want to pull up.
The Shichi probably are more willing to and apt to sort of roam around on the ground and bounce around and tumble and things like that, while the Shealock tend to stay higher in the air. And
All right. I think we've grilled you enough on the on those beings for now. I would be safe to say that there are many other denizens of this area, correct? Is it likely you could find all different kinds of fey or similar creatures?
Yes, and I think there are lots of animals and insects and things that would live in.
Are animals here generally just are? Is it a mixture of standard animals that we would recognize versus magical animals?
I think they are primarily magical. And yes, I do want talking animals, damn it.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with talking animals.
Yeah, especially if you're going to be violent about it, just go for it. Yeah, have all the talking animals you want.
Talking animals, okay.
As long as they're not talking domesticated animals, that would get very boring very quickly.
I know. Ask me the peas, please.
Yes. I don't know if any of you have watched the series The Magicians, want a different kind of take on talking animals, that is definitely a good show to watch.
How fun. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's like...
It's a fun show.
Yeah, it's like the idea is they have their own Narnia, but it is messed up. It is a very messed up Narnia. It's Narnia like, you know, if like the kids grew up and realized that the world isn't so magical and that the people are all horrible, that even the talking animals have, you know, some of them are creeps. some of them really just don't care. And some of them are just really dumb. But anyway, that's a whole
just
different
like
thing.
Real people.
Yes. Alrighty. So I guess what we'll do is we can define some other more prevalent creatures or beings you may find, or specific, if there's a specific this guy or whatever. I'll start with Rick. Rick, is there what other creatures or whatever? What else would we find there?
Well, what I'd like to throw out there and shoot me down if this doesn't fit, but I think it kind of does, is that there's a circle of Treant druids that are kind of like often the voice of the forest, and they probably live around the waterfall.
Okay. All right. So these are more than just trees that are, so you say the tree ants aren't necessarily like, they're not like rooted down parts of the Wenya. They right. are.
It's more mobile messengers and acolytes. They're probably the diplomats. So like if humans or other creatures came in and needed to talk to the hive mind, they would probably communicate through the druids, if that makes sense.
Is that something that jives with this place, MJ?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Yeah. They're kind of like the spokespeople.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spokes trees. All right.
And I'm sure there's somebody who doesn't appreciate them. I'm sure.
Yeah.
This place totally strikes me as someplace where you have to go talk to a specific trees to get what you want. I really like that idea. It's like, no, you got to talk to these other trees. You gotta go see the big tree. Don't.
Yeah, it's like random. It's not like, you know, really belligerent paperwork, but it's random, you know, paperwork almost. Like, no. Go down there, cross the ponds, go to the waterfall, and talk to that tree, and then they'll tell you, no, you got it all wrong, and you went to the wrong ponds.
Alrighty, Scott, got anything?
Yeah, I got something. I don't know what I'm doing with this yet, so I'm going to throw this out, and then okay. people can help me. But I have somebody, and she is the Knight of Brambles, and so she's not a very traditional knight, but she's like some fae type creature that is not entirely of this world, but is for some reason in this world for some purpose, and this is like where she stays. And so she's a little alien even, but is accepted by the trees, so like the people accept her, but she has some kind of greater purpose, whether it is, you know, something temporal that can be understood or some greater thing. This is just where she is based. So there's inside the creepy weird forest, even if you get a handle on that, there's this extra creepy weird person who's even slightly weirder and creepier than the actual forest, but has a connection to it. And so would be someone who has some desire to protect and the forest, but not necessarily to go out and help random people, but it's like, okay, I'm here. This is important to me and my overall mission to do this unfathomable thing that I'm not going to explain to you.
Right. And she is not necessarily like working for the Wenya.
Right. It's kind of more of a, okay. we are ally. I am allied, or there is an alliance of convenience or an alliance of understanding, but not necessarily a formal, you know, okay, so we're doing this together. It's like, hey, look, I'll help you do this. I'm going to do this. We're cool. And ultimately, there's some level of understanding. And she's in the forest, so obviously she does not wish the forest harm.
Right.
But yeah. But
she lives here, but it's not necessarily.
Yeah, she's not of it.
Yeah. Okay, I like that. And her. Okay, let me ask you. This is a very important question from the DM standpoint. Is her true purpose? Her true purpose there. Do you want to define it? Or would you like to leave it up to the whims? Well,
I think we leave it to the whims of the story.
Okay, good.
Yeah, this person, they are not evil, but they are not necessarily, you know, good as civilization would define it, because they have different values, you know? So they have like, hey, look, I have this value of, like, the forest thinks I'm cool, so I'm cool, but my goals may not match up with your goals, random adventuring party. Or maybe we will have the same goals, but at the end I have something slightly different I want to happen. Something like that. But again, it can be totally opposite of that. I don't care if that's kind of when I conceived of this, that's what I was.
Cool. Excellent. That's you're right. We're all on the right page. Okay, so I am going to create a particular kind of being that can be found in Wenya's Hollow. They are called the Forgotten, and they are the bad people who agreed to stay, who made the deal with the swamp, and are hanging around. But as years go on, they essentially forget why they are there. They're generally angry and somewhat hostile. But that's mostly out of confusion. They will try and glom on to people who seem to have a purpose, to see if they can figure out if that has to do with what they forgot. They are dangerous, but they're hazards. They're less like, you know, bad guys. They're more just of hazards, things that could, by the nature of their own kind of negative energy, they'll never get what they want. But they're just another thing that can, you know, mess people up. So they're closest things, you know, because they would be evil if they had any idea what they want. But they're just confused and unhappy. I think is that like the closest skirting the edge to that kind of thing, MJ, as far as?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think the hollow would be watchful of them, right, but would allow them to stay.
Hey, what else is nearby the Silver Birch? Like what other civilizations? Because I could see them, if they were peaceful or didn't want to execute somebody, I could see them sending people there to become forgotten.
That is quite possible. As far as what they're near, they are they're the furthest defined thing we have northwest of the map.
Okay.
They're the closest place that we know of to them is the Cauldron.
Okay.
Which is southeast, more east than south, but there's where the Mycologs live.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, under the ground is Four Tunnels, which is where the Drow hail. Mm-hmm. And you know, they are south of Wenya's Hollow, a ways down is the Forge, and then southwest around, you know, a little closer are the Var, who are the barbarians.
Right.
There's any number of things that can be there.
Is there a fungus that affects birch trees? I think we got something here. Hang on.
Well, the Mycolog, if the Mycologs weren't pretty peaceful, I would say, you know, it's possible.
Yeah, they're diplomats, aren't they?
Yes,
yeah,
they
secrets are. Secrets of knowledge, I think I read.
Yeah, and they, yes, and they just as far as
the fungus things, people got it going on.
Yeah, as far as things that we know of, about, you know, about 50 to 60 years before the start of this campaign, they established diplomatic relationships. They establish a friendly relationship with Wenya's Hollow. So they are, as of now, pretty friendly with them. They themselves popped up. Let me see, as far as, because that's going to become important at some point. They came to be known about 200 or so years after Wenya's Hollow was almost exactly, like 340, 350, and this is 140. So they're not as old. So who knows? I mean, even their creation might have had something to do with the proximity to this.
There could be some symbiotic relationship too there, where it's like, oh, hey, you guys come and get rid of these trees, and so new trees can grow, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. I don't know how much I want to delve into the...
Well, that's the other thing too, right? Yeah, and that's...
And I'm stepping on Rick's thing anyway, so, you know.
Well, it's actually Kevin's, which is another.
Well, no, I mean, like Rick was talking about his next thing and going.
Oh,
on
no,
about
no, I was talking about Pat's thing about the Forgotten, just throwing out there that they might have been criminals. Or
oh yeah.
Might be sent there. That's all.
We're way off the rails then. Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I like the idea of some like little human town nearby who just sends all their criminals into the woods. It's like, all right, done with that. Great.
Here's another important question. We're talking about other things. Can people die here? Are there lethal things that can, that, you know, I mean, that's because, you know, it's kind of an important distinction for these kind of games. Is you know, can someone die in these woods? Can something, even though it may not be evil, can it be lethal? Is it possible, I guess, is my question.
I think it's possible because it's still nature centric, and part of nature is dying and sort of going back into the soil or going back into the sky or the air or whatever. I mean, in a sense, it can physically die, but I think it goes back into the trees and the earth and becomes part of Wenya's Hollow.
Okay. So yes, you can physically die here, but what happens after that? Interesting.
Right.
Okay. That's good. That's good to know. You know, it's just like, it's a weird thing to say. You go to a place in D&D where you can't die.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, they, we all know, you know, as kind of storytellers, that there are, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a place that is easy to deal with. Oh, you can't die there. I would say, oh, it's probably been much worse than, like, you know, you won't die, you'll just never leave, but or something like that, in an unpleasant way.
You know, maybe there are some people who, as they're getting toward the end of their life, for whatever reason, they say, oh, I want to go die in Windless Hollow, because there's this idea that they live on somewhere.
That's true. Yeah. Maybe people do. Yeah, maybe some people make pilgrimages to their...
Right.
To become one with the place. It might be a, you know, maybe druids might go there to, you know, become one with it. Like, yeah. There's all kinds of stuff.
And maybe the trees absorb the knowledge of those that die there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Alrighty. So MJ, we're going to go back around to you for creatures, races, or NPCs.
I want to add witches to this world.
Oh boy.
So this is the word I was looking up. I'm probably still going to mispronounce it.
It's whatever you say it is.
They're called the Kaliok.
Okay. How does it spell?
It's C-A-L-L E-I-A-C-H. And I think maybe Wanya's Hollow, they don't travel outside of Wanya's Hollow that often at all. So maybe this is the only place that they are, unless, you know, one of them has branched off to go do something else. And there is a giant, almost like a tree house called Kaliok's Hut, where... Okay. They all reside, and it's hard to find, but it's one of the places that maybe it doesn't move, it stays in the same spot, but it has magic surrounding it that makes it really hard.
Okay, and tell us about these witches. What do they...
They do talk to the animals a lot. I think foxes are probably the animals that they work with the most their companions, their allies, these magic foxes that talk to them.
Okay.
And they are very nature-centric. They use a lot of the herbs for their magic. They do, I think, you know, we'll keep it basic, they do hexes.
Good.
And I think they are very protective of their space and their culture and their identity. So if they sense that something is going to endanger that, they will lash out at them in order to protect themselves, their environment.
Okay.
And I think there are in order to be a witch, you can be any gender. They'll accept whatever.
Okay.
And just out of curiosity, Bella, do they are they like immortal type thing, or do they recruit outside of the forest to further their numbers, or?
Well, yeah. Could someone go there to become a Kali?
Absolutely. And I think because the drow have that tunnel that comes up into Wenya's Hollow, they probably have a really good relationship with the drow, and there are probably some drow who have become Kaliok. And that's kind of their connection to the world outside would be the drow.
That makes sense, yeah, because that's another thing we have is the drow make an official alliance with Wenya's Hollow fairly recently, but... the reason that those kinds of things happened in more recent times is because that's when conflict really started.
Yeah.
So that doesn't necessarily mean that the drow didn't go there individually and have good relationships with them. It's just officially like the drow, quote unquote, government said, okay, you know, like, you know, we need to forge alliances because bad things are happening. And there's another thing that happens around 7:30, and I'll just say this now because it'll come up, is that magical fortifications are raised. The gloaming is a thing that is raised around it. I'm assuming that probably makes it harder to find or whatever. But, you know, when that comes up, we'll talk about it. And that also is another thing that we could, you know, because our history is more or less right now kind of just between all of us. So if we want to change things, we certainly can. But... I just wanted to throw that out there. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Okay. Alrighty. Rick.
All right. Let's put a little bit of chaos into this.
Okay.
There are herds of flying rabbits with sleep venom.
I'm fully invested in this.
Can I just say, I imagine flying rabbits. I kid you not, I was thinking flying rabbits.
I my brain just broke, and now I am
dead.
That you were both thinking of flying rabbits, but yeah. That means we're doing our job correctly. All maybe. Right.
So there's herds of fly. I mean, there. Well, herds is probably the wrong term. Packs are probably the proper term. But there's packs of flying rabbits with sleep venom that probably are used to defend the land.
Okay, so just so you know, a grouping of rabbits is called a fluffle or a colony.
That's amazing. But
perfect.
I'm just going to...
Could it be called... It? Oh, that's great.
How about a kerfuffle?
How about we just call them the kerfuffle?
Yes.
Is that a good name for them? All right.
Yeah, that works.
Because I know Rick sometimes doesn't. Sometimes has a and that's kerfuffle. Apparently, is spelled with a K.
Yeah, that's how I spelled it.
Okay.
This is. I know we're all having a good time, but seriously, let's never go here.
I got some bad news for you.
Razor's gonna hate.
So the first combat guy got put to sleep by rabbits, and
if you do go here,
and all your stuff is stolen by crows.
Now he's in a swamp. He can't find his way out.
Blame Kevin, because Kevin was the one who continually said, "I want to see that silver birch fly." Alrighty, Scott. Any other denizens that we want to? And this doesn't
flying rabbits again, are off. So now I got to come up with something. All right.
Once again, this doesn't mean these are the only things there, but these are the things that we are that we know about before we.
Well, I vowed to myself when MJ said she wanted talking animals that I would come up with a talking animal. So I'm gonna. I've got between two, so I'm gonna go with the one that ties into what we've already talked about. So there is a specific fox that is the fox that if you are there for good purposes will guide you, but you do have to bargain with the fox. The fox obviously friendly with the witches and all, and maybe is some leader of the fox and maybe is some kind of a fae spirit, or maybe is just a magical talking fox. You don't know. And this fox is mischievous, but if a bargain is struck, the fox will follow the bargain, and usually is the fox that will come. And I get the idea that like people who the witches want to come because they're recruiting them, the fox will come and lead them to the witches, and then that bargain is much easier because the fox is already kind of invested in getting this person in there, and so it's a kind of a token thing. But it is a ceremony. You have to bargain with the fox. Even if the forest itself wants you to come in, you still need to talk to the fox and be let in if you expect to be guided. If you just blunder into the forest, hey, you're on your own there. But the fox will guide you if you talk to the fox, and if the fox finds you or you find the fox.
I like that
it's a chatty fox.
At least one definitive like guide who got what do we call this fox?
That's a good question. Anybody got a good name for a fox?
Oh, I'm so here for this fox or these
foxes.
Well, let's see, what's a good name for a fox?
It's gonna be like Swifty or something. We gotta come up with something. We gotta come up with something cooler than that. Somewhere.
or we could come up with another unpronounceable Gaelic.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. Let's go.
Here's the Gaelic.
Okay.
It's like she not. Let me actually look at how to pronounce.
Okay. What's the spelling?
It's SIONNACH.
Okay.
Shinnok?
Well, yes.
Shinnok, I think it's
Shinnok.
I believe so. Let's see what this woman said.
Hi, I'm Siobhan from Bite Size Irish Gaelic, and today let's learn the word for Shinnok.
Shinnok.
Shinnok. Okay.
Shinnok.
I'm so glad I've introduced this. This has made my day. I can't.
All right. All righty. Shinnok. That is it. There we go. That's our fox. Okay. Alrighty. I am going to. All right. I'm gonna be the dork who brings in some garden variety fae thing. I like to mix. But it'll. I'm not. And they're too much. The she are too much. They'll just
so it goes up with something calm, like flying wolves that prey on the flying rabbits.
No. The wolves can't fly, and it annoys the hell out of them if the rabbits can.
Yeah, no, the wolves can climb trees though, so they just leap.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not going to do red caps because red caps are they're really bad. You can't make them anything but bad. I'm thinking, how about we got enough guys? Alrighty, so there's going to be brownies. Did I lose everybody?
No, I'm still here.
Okay, sorry.
We're just hungry, and we just thought.
No, I heard.
I was literally thinking, and I thought brownies. I lost
everybody. So brownies are the kind of like they're very similar to pixies or if you could go ahead and see what the Gaelic term for them would be, because I have no doubt. They are kind of like the doozers of Wenya's Hollow. They are kind of like your Joe average working fae. Perform tasks. They're helpful to the fae themselves. They have their own spots. They have burrows that are, you know, all over the place. But they're, you know, if you need any kind of mundane task that is performed here in this magical place, it's done by the brownies. And they are perfectly content to do so. They are the closest thing that your average, if your general person who winds up there, can kind of relate to, in a way. But you know, they're your bog standard kind of boring thing.
Nice.
That's what I give you. I give you the beige fae.
So there are three different terms.
Okay.
In Gaelic, here's Tuca.
Tuca. Oh yeah.
It's P-U with an accent C-A.
Oh yeah, that's okay. So pukas, yeah. When you hear about pukas, that's yeah. All right, I'll go with puka. That's another one that's fairly known. And how is it spelled in Gaelic?
It's P-U with a little tilde over it.
Okay. Yeah. P-U. Sorry.
P-U tilde over the U C-A.
Okay. All right. So yeah, they are the kind of. They're the general citizenry of this place. They're, you know, they do all they farm, they cultivate, they make things, they, you know, they help the other beings in magical rituals. They're, you know, they can be any number of things. And here's a question about denizens of Wenya's Hollow. Do we see some of these beings outside of Wenya's Hollow? Do some of them leave and go out into the world?
I think some do. And maybe the Puka are some of the ones that do.
Yeah, I would say the Puka, they're the ones you might find wandering around the world. I think Pukas probably sometimes get a kind of a wanderlust and just go out places and then become part of the world. But they are, you know, they're tiny. So, you know. But there are places that tiny people. So, all right, yeah. I was gonna say Joe Average Fae, groundborn. They are by their nature magical creatures. So they can have or learn magic. There's nothing stopping them, but they don't really have any inborn magical ability as a whole. Some might be, you know, they could be like a fae sorcerer, or go off and become a wizard or whatever. But they're just, you know, as a race, they're kind of like you. Okay, that's yeah. Do we have any MJ, is there anything else you would like to add at this point?
I mean, I'm always up for more talking animals, but I feel pretty good about this.
Okay. Rick or Scott, do you have anything that you are thinking of adding right now?
I think being a tree-based type thing, you probably have dryads.
Okay. But
I don't think we have to talk about them a lot because I think they're pretty much stereotypical D&D dryads.
Okay. Alrighty. Yeah. Dryads. Yeah.
I dig that.
Yep. Alrighty. So yeah, it is. So I will say that you're generally going to find anything. You can generally find all kinds of good or neutral, you know, using D&D terms, fae being. Would a evil fae being have an easier time arriving here than other places? Or is this place going to generally keep them out? I feel like you probably kind of already answered that, but I'm going to ask in terms of Fabi.
I think the gloaming, perhaps. I think it does try to keep out evil.
Okay.
Anything that is evil, but fey creatures, the evil fey, probably have a, because this is a fey place.
Yeah.
They do have a sense of maybe being able to break through those barriers.
Would you say prior to the gloaming, it would be easier, yes. But okay. Hey, everybody, this is Patrick, and I am cutting in right now to let you know that there is a whole lot more of Wenya's Hollow to be created. There's a whole other episode worth of content where we dig into the history of this place and where it fits in with other events in our already established timeline. You're going to learn a little bit more about not only Wenya's Hollow, but other events that we might not have talked about yet. So we are going to pick up with this next time, and we got a whole other hour or so worth of world-building fun. So we will see you then. Bye! You can follow Architects of Entropy on Facebook. You can also email us at entropypod@gmail.com. That's entropypod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.